This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
We cover a diverse array of topics on this program every weekday. Of course, getting close to the November general election. Ballots going out in some cases now and others in about a week. And so we're talking to some of the candidates around Oregon. Will Lathrop back on with us, Republican candidate for Oregon Attorney General. Will, thanks for being on today.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So I guess overall, I'd ask, first of all, how do you feel like this race is going so far?
Well, it's going really well, but I guess it's not really going well until you win. So you don't really know to the election day, but it's really close. I'm getting a lot of bipartisan support and feeling good about the possibility of having some change in Oregon.
And talk about that bipartisan support. What are you hearing from the other side of the aisle?
Well, you know, so if you remember, my background is in law enforcement. I was child sex abuse prosecutor in Oregon, and then I worked on child abuse nationally, and then I've been working to rescue child trafficking victims internationally. And so when I've come back, I've realized that, you know, crime and addiction are indiscriminate. They're affecting, it doesn't matter if you're Republican or Democrat. They don't ask you that before they burglarize your house or hurt you. So everybody's suffering from the same things, and they're looking for somebody that can enforce the law and make things better. So I've done quite well, both endorsements and just with voters, explaining my accountability first pro law enforcement platform.
So talk about the differences between your opponent in background and experience.
Yeah, we probably couldn't be any more different. My opponent has been a part-time lawyer and a full-time politician for about a decade now. And there's nothing wrong with that, but that's what he's done. He's worked in the legislature and sort of carved out a political career. And like I just mentioned, my entire career has been in law enforcement and victim protection, which he doesn't have any background at all. So the attorney general is the chief law enforcement officer of the state. And so it's, you know, I'm running for the chief law enforcement officer of a state with a lot of criminal law background and law enforcement background, and he's running with none. And that's pretty much the difference between the two of us.
What do you think are the key issues in this race?
Well, you know, the attorney general is a chief law enforcement officer, and I've spoken at every county in the state of Oregon. I'm going to speak at some neighborhood associations tonight in Portland. I go to neighborhood associations consistently in Portland, so I know the Portland metro area, and I've spoke across the state. And I can tell you that Oregon is really unified, probably more unified than I can ever remember in my lifetime, and that everybody's a little bit miserable, and it's because of the same things. It's crime, addiction, affordable housing, and a fragile economy. And the attorney general really does, you know, has a big impact on crime and addiction and protection. So the key issues that I'm running on are, one is drug trade. There's organized foreign drug cartel that's really taken over our state in many ways and is driving a lot of the crime that's crushing communities and families. And these cartels are making millions of dollars off of exploiting addiction. And it's the role of the attorney general to run point on all organized crime. That's drug trafficking, human trafficking, and organized retail theft. And all of those things are astronomically high right now. So my first priority is going to be to work and make it exceedingly difficult to bring methamphetamine and fentanyl in our state. But right now, it has probably never been easier at any time in American history to buy or sell the street or the most dangerous drugs. And so we've got to change that. And the second thing is child protection. You know, I've worked my whole adult life in protecting kids from violence, exploitation, and abuse. And Oregon is becoming an increasingly unhealthy place to raise a child. If you look at the public school system, if you look about statistics on suicide, mental health, addiction, exposure to pornography, online sexual exploitation, abuse and neglect, when you start looking at how we compare to other states, we're in the bottom 10 on almost every category. The Attorney General is over the Child Protection Division of the Department of Justice, And we've got to reset the culture. We've got to do something different because Oregon is not a safe place to raise a child. It just isn't what it used to be when I was a child. And the third thing is corruption. The Attorney General is the anti-corruption wing of the government. It's the hall monitor for all of the state agencies, and it's the entity that's supposed to investigate when somebody a government official misuses their power or misuses funds. And there's been plenty of examples of that in recent years, and it's affecting the trust of the people in their government. And so I want to restore that trust by being nonpartisan and really looking at a corruption or official misuse of office or money and holding people accountable.
Do you think it would be better or maybe easier to do that kind of work if the AG's office was nonpartisan?
I want to say 1,000 times yes. Yes. This should be a nonpartisan position. It should be treated in a nonpartisan way. I really have a nonpartisan background. And I think that actually makes me more credible because I don't have a political background where I have a political party to please or I'm sort of ingrained in certain philosophies. I'm just trained and very good at enforcing the law, and that's what attorney generals do.
What do you think some of the misconceptions, if you were to walk down a street somewhere in Oregon, whether it's Portland or Roseburg, and ask people what's the work of the AG's office all about? What are the misconceptions?
I think most people don't even know. I mean, when you run for office, you spend time trying to get people to know and like you and vote for you. But when you run for attorney general, you do two things. First of all, you try to explain to them that there is such thing as an attorney general and that it's important, and then that they should know and vote for you. So I think a lot of people are unaware of the attorney general, and that's unfortunate because it's a really important position because it is the chief law enforcement officer of the state and really sets the tone for victim protection and law enforcement everywhere. And right now, Oregon has a law enforcement problem. And so I think people look to their local sheriff or they look to their local DA, and chiefs of police, which are all important positions and can really help. But ultimately, the attorney general sort of has authority across the state, which gives it gives the position a lot more of the ability to set minimum standards, create a culture of protection, and really drive resources to where they're needed most. And so I guess if I were to say my experience is most people don't know what the attorney general does.
And what do you do to maybe make the office higher profile so people are aware of the work that's going on?
You know, I don't know that it needs to be. I think when an attorney general does their job well, just like if your sheriff or your district attorney are doing their job well, people are safe and they're happy and they're not focused on that position. It only gets in the limelight when things get really, really bad. And we saw that in the district attorney's race in Portland. There's a district attorney there named Mike Schmidt. He kind of came out and announced all the crimes he wasn't going to prosecute or enforce. And then Portland started taking on water big time and became very, very unsafe. And he was recently unelected, but many people across the state know Mike Schmidt's name because he did a really, really bad job. And that's a lot of what law enforcement is. If everybody knows your name, it probably means you're not doing a very good job. So I don't think there's a need to make the attorney general a high profile position. I think it's best when it's a nonpartisan position and you have public servants just doing their work, quietly keeping people safe, making sure there's no corruption and holding government institutions accountable.
And how do you keep it from being politically driven?
I mean, that's in the heart. that comes with the heart. What do you want? What's your desire? I think when you owe favors and you've worked in politics for a really long time and you see the position as a way to gain vanity or a stepping stone to becoming a governor or other position, it causes you to make decisions that aren't in the best interest of people, that aren't fair, aren't just, aren't necessarily legal. And this is what you see time and time again in different political positions, including the attorney general's office and our current attorney general. And so that's not my background. My background's not in politics. It's not my passion. It's not my heart. I've, in Oregon, took on a lot of secondary trauma and worked really, really hard to protect children from sexual violence. I wouldn't say that job was fun, but I would say it was really rewarding in the sense that you could quietly do a job that was really important to the community and it mattered a lot to the kids I represented in court. I did the same thing nationally and even risked my life internationally to try to bring justice to women and children that were suffering from trafficking and land violence. And I'll take the same approach to the Attorney General's office. It's just to use my skills and use my position to try to make Oregon better. And that will be the measurement for me, not how my career goes, but data-driven, statistically making Oregon better at protecting people.
How many staff are there in the Oregon Attorney General's office?
It's about 1,400.
And how does that compare with similar-sized states?
I don't really know the answer to that question, and I would say that it's kind of comparing the apples to oranges, because every state has the attorney generals have different powers. Sometimes they're the same or there's similarities, but some attorney generals may lack two or three divisions that Oregon has, and so it's hard to make a comparison between states.
And what's the budget for the attorney general's office?
Yeah, I think it's about. You get different opinions on this, but it's about $750 million budget biennium.
And obviously a substantial amount of money there. Is that adequate? Is that too much? Is that not enough?
It's adequate. I mean, there's certainly areas of the Attorney General's office that are severely underfunded, particularly online sexual exploitation of children and protecting seniors from scams, online scams. Like we've trailed the rest of the country, especially the Northwest, in investigators and sort of resources put to those specific things. But there's plenty of resources to reprioritize and get the money where it's needed most. The thing about Oregon is that we have problems, and our initial reaction, especially in the legislature, is, okay, we'll pass a new law to fix that problem, and we'll allocate some more money to fix that problem. And we have a stack of laws. It's just like tools in a toolbox. But if nobody's executing those laws, they're useless. They're just, you can't fix anything with a tool in a toolbox. You have to take it out with your hand and use it. And that's the state of Oregon in laws. We're just not executing our laws. And the same thing with money, like you can allocate more and more money, but if it's not used well, if it's not going to the right things, it's not going to solve the problem. So I don't think we have a law creation problem. I don't think we have a money allocation problem in Oregon. We have a law execution and money execution and resource execution problem in Oregon. And that's what I hope to fix.
Now, with that big office, talk about the background of the attorneys there. I would imagine, maybe, and just kind of guessing, that you've got folks specializing in a lot of different things.
You're exactly right. So each division sort of has its specializations. If you're in the criminal law division, you're going to see a lot of ex-prosecutors and ex-law enforcement people. If you're in the civil division, you're going to see people that are specialize in civil litigation. And if you're in trusts and securities, it'll be trust law, securities law, consumer protection law, environmental law. So each subdivision and division has its own specializations and expertise.
And how do people land, and this is sort of maybe an unusual question, how do people end up working at the Attorney General's office versus being in private practice or being an attorney in some other government level?
Yeah, you know, I'd be curious to know more about that myself. Early in my career, the Attorney General's office was thought to be sort of the creme de la creme of government agencies, and it was a great place for any lawyer to land. It pays well, especially for a government job. And it's an incredibly important job, and it has quite a bit of autonomy. So I think it was a very competitive place. Over time, I do know that the Attorney General's office has become, I guess, less desirable for a lot of attorneys. The culture is not great, and there's been a lot of it's been made political, which hasn't been always popular with attorneys that don't agree with the politics. And so I'd be curious to see what the state is now, but. You know, at one time, it's an extraordinarily competitive place to work, and it was the place people wanted to end up. And once they ended up, they didn't want to leave.
Now, you mentioned earlier about laws not being enforced in Oregon, and district attorney's offices around the state have talked about being underfunded, having not enough staff. Is that something that you would try to push for addressing?
Yeah, I mean, immediately. We have really low... we have low retention rates and and high vacancy rates in law enforcement. Like if you're talking sheriff's offices, chiefs of police, and DA's offices across the state, big city, small town, big county, small county, they're all suffering from the same thing. They don't have. It's become an unattractive job, an unattractive place to work. And so the attorney general was supposed to really be the ambassador for law enforcement for the state, help to build pipelines and develop talent pools. And I want to start working to do that because it hasn't been done for a really long time.
With the recent change in Oregon's drug law, do you see, and obviously that is just getting started in the last few weeks, do you feel like that is going to make a dent in the situation we're dealing with drugs?
I think it'll help a little. You know, ballot measure 110 was like taking two giant steps back. And then the House Bill 4002 was like taking one small step forward. So, and on one hand, it's a good progression. It feels good to have a lever to help people get into treatment and use the criminal justice system for accountability. On the other hand, we're still way worse than we were in 2019. So it's hard to get overly excited about it, especially when House Bill 4002 is implemented and applied differently in every single county in the state. So some counties are opting out of it. Some counties are doing a deflection program that has a little bit of teeth and requires treatment. Some are like Multnomah County, where it's just more harm reduction. There isn't any, you know, meaningful treatment. So, you know, at the end of the day, it's a flawed bill, but it's better than what we had last year. But again, as I mentioned earlier, it's just going to throw on the stack of a whole bunch of laws that are not being executed right now. Like, it was already against the law to deal drugs, and people are dealing drugs everywhere. It's against the law to put up graffiti. It's everywhere. It's against the law for people to put campers in residential neighborhoods for a month at a time, and that's happening everywhere. So it's just another law that we need to actually start executing. So that would probably be my outlook on that.
Given your background in terms of trying to protect children from trafficking, things like that, why do you think that issue is worse in Oregon than some other states?
Human trafficking or drug trafficking? Can you clarify that?
Yeah, human trafficking.
Yeah, I mean, it's really bad in Oregon. I used to try those cases before I left, and human trafficking has always been there, but I've come back to a whole different state. And the attorney general is supposed to run point, as I mentioned, on organized crime, and human trafficking is one of those things. And we have one position at the Department of Justice to deal with human trafficking, and that's not a lawyer, that's not an investigator, it's not a social worker, it's a data collection position. So we actually don't have a statewide game plan to deal with human trafficking, and the end result of that is we have a ton of human trafficking. And I think what drives human trafficking a lot of times, well, I know what drives human trafficking a lot of times is drugs. So drugs create vulnerability, and because people are addicted, and once they're addicted and once they're vulnerable, they're exploited. And that's what's happening. We have a high level of addiction, a high level of drug trafficking. Now we have a high level of human trafficking. And then just in the Portland Metro alone, we have, I think the Limit Week rolled this out last week or maybe the week before, there were 206 illegal massage parlors that had taken foreign nationals, mostly from China. They come here, these women are promised a better life here, but once they get here, they take their documentation and their passports, they force them into this, what's, you know, fronted as a massage parlor that ends up being sex industry, and they're required to start performing sexual acts on people. We have 206 of those illegal massage parlors in the Portland Metro alone. And so it's become an international crime. It's become dynamic. There's multiple different versions of human trafficking across the state. And we have the legislature has appropriated one position in the attorney general's office, which is embarrassing. And it's not going to change until we actually put a plan together and start becoming as organized as the organized crime is around us.
About a minute left on Inside Douglas County as we go into this final month. What's ahead for your campaign?
Yeah, so we're pushing hard to, you know, you go on TV and digital media, but we have a really strong grassroots campaign, and so we're knocking on people's doors, we're putting up signs, we're calling people. I'm speaking as much as I possibly can, just doing everything we can to get the message out there. and have people know my campaign. We find that when people know my background and what I'd like to do versus my opponent's background and what he'd like to do, we win the day, because we have, we're doing what needs to be done and not something that's political. So if people want to learn more about my campaign, you can go on my website at willlathrop.com, or find me on social media, and you can get a better insight about how you can volunteer or get help or be part of the movement.
All right. Will Lathrop, Republican candidate for Attorney General on Inside Douglas County. Will, thanks for being on.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks for the time.
1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.